Mighty thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning. It's good to see all of you. Always enjoyed preaching to people who look really good. I appreciate the prayer that was offered this morning, the thoughts that have gone before, and I do trust that you'll continue to pray such time as we stand before you that the Lord would bless. Brother Sam asked how many of us hadn't been stressed today. Well, I wasn't stressed until the pastor came up from over there. Then I've been stressed ever since. I want to speak to you just a little bit this morning concerning the forgiveness of sins. If I tried to speak on forgiveness as a whole, that subject's just too broad for us to cover. And this one is too, but pray the Lord will bless. We read in the Colossian letter in chapter 1 and verse 14, a verse that begins with, "In whom?" If a verse begins with a preposition, then we need to back up and see what that preposition is referring to. The verse before ends with the kingdom of His dear Son. The "in whom" is reference to the dear Son, the Son of His love, Jesus Christ. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I want you to notice the way that sentence is written. It says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood." That doesn't sound like something that we will have. It doesn't sound like something that we might have. That sounds like something that we already possess.
Amen.
Redemption through His blood. And there's a comment that says, even the forgiveness of sins. That means that the forgiveness is also something that we already possess. That's already ours. Brothers and sisters, this morning forgiveness is yours. You have it already.
Amen.
I think there are two great misconceptions about the forgiveness of sins that all of Christendom deals with. And you hear it a lot from time to time. One misconception is that God forgives all. Don't worry, God's going to forgive you. God forgives all. Well, I want you to understand that there is no sin out there that you or I or any other child of God could commit that God is incapable of forgiving. I hope you understand that. I hope you know that. But there are some people that God will not forgive. If God forgives all, I can't make that line up with the Scripture. Because we're told in the Thessalonian letter to wait for His Son, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which hath delivered us from the wrath to come. Well, if God forgives all, then why is there a wrath to come? Why is there going to be a wrath? Why is there a white throne judgment that's talked about in Revelation?
Amen.
There's going to be wrath poured out on the wicked. There's going to be a judgment against them for their sins. So it is a misconception to walk around believing that God forgives all. The other one that I think is very prevalent in Christianity is you have to ask God to forgive you in order to be forgiven. Have you ever thought about that? I've probably sinned several times this morning that I haven't asked God to forgive me for, and I'll forget before the day's over. The very idea that we're able to even keep up with the magnitude and the rapidity that we sin with, that we can ask God to forgive us for every sin. But they'll put forth that you have to ask God for forgiveness of a sin, of your sins. So that kind of begs the question this morning as we go forth, why in the world would God forgive us of our sins? Why would He do that? Is there something about us as children of God that's just different from everybody else? We know that's not true. We're told in Ephesians that we're children of wrath even as others. Right. Nothing different about us. Nothing about us that merits forgiveness. Nothing about us that deserves forgiveness. You know, and a lot of people go through life, they apply that in a natural way too. In other words, if I do something against you, if I ask you for forgiveness, then you're obligated to forgive me. Have you ever asked someone to forgive you and they just wouldn't? I bet it's happened to you. Has anybody ever asked you to forgive them and you wouldn't? That's probably happened to you too.
Yeah.
I can usually forgive people who do things to me, but now if they do it to my children or to my mother or my father or my wife, I might not be so ready to forgive them for that. So as we begin to look at this, we can ask that question, and I think we can ask it in sincerity this morning. Why would the Lord forgive the sins of some of the people that we talked about this morning? If we go to Genesis chapter 30, we'll find the culmination of a story that's been going on for a little while here, where Jacob, after he stole Esau's birthright, went to live with Uncle Laban. And Uncle Laban didn't treat Jacob all that well. Jacob fell in love with Rachel, and he asked for permission to marry her. And Laban said, if you'll work for me for 7 years, I'll give you her to wife. And you know the story. He worked for her for 7 years, and Laban gave him Leah instead of Rachel. Had to work another 7 years to get Rachel to be his wife. And then had to do some other things for Laban beyond that. Jacob said at one point, you've changed my wages 10 times. You've dealt with me in a very dishonest way. But we find in the 30th chapter of Genesis, as Jacob is convinced it's time for him to leave, Laban said unto him in verse 27, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. Stay with me, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Laban said, I've been blessed for your sake. For the sake of you, God has blessed me. We also find in the 39th chapter of Genesis, in the story of Joseph, when he was sold by his jealous brothers to some slave traders who carted him off down into Egypt, and he wound up at Potiphar's house. And Potiphar became fond of Joseph and put him in charge of his whole household. And we find that the Egyptian's household was blessed for the sake of Jacob. I'm very thankful that things like that go on, because I can hold out that I might be blessed for the sake of someone that I'm associated with. I'm glad to be here this morning with all you good people. I may be blessed for that, for my association with you. Finally, we go to 2 Samuel chapter 9. We find there where David, after Saul and Jonathan have been killed in battle, and all of the people, and it was customary at that time when someone tried to take over the position of king, that they destroyed all the household of the king that came before them. Because there were some of that household that would claim the throne. There would always be some strife going on. And there was a nurse. I say nurse. There was a woman who was carrying a young child that was related to Saul. She was fleeing because she thought David's men would come. And she fell on that little boy as she was fleeing, and she crippled him. His name was Mephibosheth. And David and Jonathan had a special friendship. And David asked the question in 2 Samuel chapter 9, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And Mephibosheth dwelt in the palace of the king and put his feet under the king's table from that time on for the sake of Jonathan. Notice David didn't even ask if there's anyone left from Jonathan's house. "I'll bless someone from Saul's house." Saul, who had tried to kill him on several occasions for Jonathan's sake. So as we begin to answer that question, why would God forgive us of our sins? We find the answer in Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 32, at the end of that chapter, the Apostle Paul writes, "And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiven one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." Now, I've heard that verse quoted many times, and usually the "for Christ's sake" part is left out. They'll say, "Be kind and forgive one another as God has forgiven you." But it's in there, brothers and sisters. God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. That means when Christ went to the cross, as we've already heard this morning, and shed His precious blood for our redemption, He paid the debt for every sin that you or I or any other child of God has ever or will ever commit. And God the Father was satisfied with that payment, and for the sake of Jesus Christ has forgiven all the sins of the elect family of God. Every one of them that you have ever or will ever commit. Because our sins, we have possession of the forgiveness of sins that we haven't even committed yet. Already forgiven. Why? For the sake of Jesus Christ. Now, as we consider this, and I thought about posing this a little bit before when I said some folks believe you have to ask for forgiveness to be forgiven. It's thinking along those same lines that people will tell you that someone who takes their own life can't go to heaven. And I know you've heard that. And then you say, "Well, why?" And they say, "Well, there's no time for them to ask for forgiveness of that sin. They murdered themselves. And they can't ask for forgiveness of that sin." Well, okay. If that's true, if driving up here today, and I didn't drive, I rode with Brother Andy. But if driving up here today, I got cut off on I-16. By some bad driver or someone who thought they had to get where they were going before anybody else did. And I lost my temper. And I uttered some things under my breath or maybe even out loud as I sometimes do. People say they talk to themselves. I do. In a vocal tone. And while I'm fussing at them and talking bad about them and looking at them and shaking my finger or my head or whatnot, I run straight into the side of a bridge. Well, by that example, I hadn't had time to ask for forgiveness of that either. You see what I'm saying? Any old sin will do. Any old sin will do. And a lot of them If you had a wreck or some bad accident or something, you wouldn't have had time to ask for forgiveness of that one either. Why is taking your own life different? Why is that different? I want you to understand, brothers and sisters. And when I was young, I was probably 12 years old before I even knew of someone taking their own life. And a little bit older than that before it happened to someone that I personally knew. But now at my age, it's happened in my own family. And it's happened to a friend. And it's happened to someone who was in the Primitive Baptist Church that I knew. So it's important to me that all of us understand that that's not an unpardonable sin.
Amen.
That's not something that's going to separate you from the love of God. Because if God forgave that sin, He didn't do it for you. He did it for the sake of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So now if we have that understanding that it's for the sake of Jesus Christ that God forgives sin, then we also have to reach this conclusion. If Jesus Christ satisfied the sin debt, and that God was satisfied with it, as we've been told already this morning, and Jesus Christ was perfectly sufficient in His accomplishment on the cross, as we believe that He was, then every sin of the child of God is forgiven. Everyone. Then we also have to agree if the wrath of God is coming and we've been delivered from it, then there are some whose sins are not forgiven. And it's not because they didn't ask for it. It's because they weren't in the number that Jesus Christ paid the sin debt for. So if you take this argument from a logical standpoint, you can run someone right into a corner. You can run someone right into a corner. Where they would have to admit they won't, I can already tell you, because they're just about as hard-headed as old Baptists are. Did you see me point at Brother Philip when I said that? But you can run them right into a corner where they at least have to think about. There must be some that Christ didn't die for. If God forgives sins for the sake of Christ, and He forgives all the sins of the ones Christ died for, there has to be some that He didn't die for. And brothers and sisters, that doesn't surprise me. That doesn't alarm me. That there's some that Christ didn't die for. What alarms me is that there are so many that He did die for.
Amen.
It's a great number. Brother Sam was talking about the stars in the heaven. How many there were. Who can tell them? That means giving a counting of them. I don't know how many is going to be in heaven, but I'm looking for a great crowd.
Amen.
I heard on the news yesterday morning that tomorrow, there's, I think the University of Georgia Stadium will hold 93,000 people. They said there will be an additional 100,000 outside the stadium. That's going to be a crowd of people in a town the size of Athens. That's nothing. That's nothing. Brothers and sisters, to the innumerable hosts that will be in heaven, with all of their sins forgiven, and they'll be there because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake, brothers and sisters, your sins have been forgiven.
Amen.
We don't deserve it, not because we confessed them, not because we've repented of them, we ought to, but for the sake of Christ. So rejoice. As Brother John told us, rejoice. Your sins have been forgiven. Jesus Christ paid the debt on the cross.
Yeah.
Heaven will be your home. So no matter how bad it gets here, and it gets bad sometimes, I'm afraid a lot of times we brush that over a little bit, because we do rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But this can be a burdensome place, brothers and sisters, this world. But rejoice. For Christ's sake, God has forgiven you, and you'll spend eternity with Him in heaven's pure world. I appreciate your kind attention. I do want you to pray for me. May the Lord bless you.